crown.
Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. The Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke. At that very hour, some Pharisees came and said to Jesus, "Get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you." He said to them, "Go and tell that fox for me. Listen, I am casting out demons and performing cures today and tomorrow, and on the third day I finish my work. Yet today, tomorrow, and the next day I must be on my way, because it is impossible for a prophet to be killed outside Jerusalem. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often have I desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. See, your house is left to you, and I tell you, you will not see me until the time comes when you say, 'Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord.'" The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Oh God, to see you is the end and the beginning. You carry us and you go before us. You are the journey and the journey's end. Amen.
Amen.
There are some weeks when you're all ready to go with the sermon, and it's all lined up what you're going to say, and then something happens and you wake up to news like you did today. And all of that goes out the window suddenly because things are happening around us and things are hard, things are complicated. Already this morning I can see the reactions beginning within the media and the various voices coming around. Some immediately jumping on this and saying, well, this obviously means we need more gun control. Others saying, this means obviously we need to improve our mental health system. Both of which I would personally agree with, but today is not about me speaking my personal politics from the pulpit. Others are saying, well, obviously this man was demonically possessed in some way. And others saying this death and destruction happened because two naked people ate an apple 6,000 years ago. And this is therefore the result of original sin in some capacity. It's a lot of very complicated arguments, some of which have validity, some of which don't. And I look at all of it, and what first strikes me in these moments is that it seems like these are so often used as a screen behind which we can hide. As if somehow making these arguments is going to protect us from the things that happened, the series of events that ended just three blocks that way at the corner of Ransom and Porter. But the fact remains, we are still in a violent, sorrowful, pain-filled world, and we are still vulnerable. We cannot stop these things from happening as much as we'd like to. In fact, we don't even fully understand why these things happen. There is no easy answer. There is no easy solution to this particular problem. Although many are quick to step up and give their answer and their idea of how, well, we could all fix this if we just do dot, dot, dot. And that's already begun, and I expect that for the rest of the week we're going to continue to hear a lot of that in the media. And of course, many will claim the authority of Jesus standing behind their voices on many of these questions. And as I turn and look at today's gospel reading, Jesus is born into, and he is working in a complicated system as well. Here, in the very first sentence of this reading, we can already see how it is that there are different groups and different parties that are playing off of each other, that are trying to manipulate the situation, that are trying to make themselves safe and secure and prosperous, and they're going to do what they have to do to get out on top, and, you know, the members of one party are going to try and trump the members of the other party. Just let that hang there. There is the manipulation that's happening here, and we see this here in this first verse. It says, at that very hour, some Pharisees came and said to Jesus, get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you. All right, we have mentioned here these two parties here. One is the Pharisees. We know these are the champions of moral family values of Jesus' day. They prided themselves on faithful observance of the Torah. And if we just get back to these good old-fashioned biblical values, then this country would be great again. And that's their agenda. This is the one that they're going to push, and they want to sweep away anyone else who's going to compete with them. And Jesus, of course, is a threat to their agenda because he comes with a mission that is characterized by grace and by a radical welcome of those who they deem to be the threats to society and to good biblical values. The outcasts, the sinners, the tax collectors, so to speak. His welcome of them challenges their agenda. And so they see him as a threat to be done away with. And so they're saying, get out of here. And in order to use that, they are trying to throw in manipulations from the other side of the political sphere in their day by making reference to the Herodians. Say, you know, Jesus, Herod and his followers over there, they really want to kill you. And so you should take our advice because we're your buddies. And just, why don't you just go ahead and leave and stop bothering everyone? Interesting. But then they make mention of Herod, Herod Antipas, who was kind of a puppet king who was set up by the Roman Empire. He owes his position to Caesar. He himself is not very well liked by most of the Jewish people. He is not seen as a good king or as a moral person, but as a political opportunist who is able to gain money and gain power by paying allegiance to Caesar while at the same time claiming to be the governor of the Jews. And most of the common people weren't buying it, but here, on the other hand, Herod is in fact trying to kill Jesus because Jesus represents a threat to his power as Jesus walks through Galilee and Judea proclaiming the coming kingdom of God. To which Herod Antipas says, gee, that's funny, because I had the idea that I was king around here, at Caesar's pleasure, of course. And so, but again, there's the political machinations, like, you know, we want power, I want to get everything I can for myself, and then on the other side, there's the other party saying, we're going to get back to those good old-fashioned family values, and both sides are threatened by Jesus. And so where's Jesus in the midst of that? Just as we can ask, where's Jesus in the midst of this carnage that's visited our city today? Where is Jesus in the midst of tragedy? Where's Jesus in the midst of the political arguments that have already begun to arise as a result of this violence? And it's very interesting. If we keep reading, Jesus actually gives a response to this, and he sets it then in the larger context. That's what we're going to look at. Jesus said to them, go and tell that fox for me. So he obviously has great respect for Herod. Go and tell that fox for me, listen, I am casting out demons and performing cures today and tomorrow, and on the third day, I finish my work. So, Jesus says, I'm casting out demons and performing cures. That's healing people. Are these things that Jesus does normally? Does Jesus heal people? That's a part of his ministry. Does he liberate people who are oppressed by evil?
Yeah.
Yes. So, in other words, Jesus is going to keep on doing what he has always done. So, where is Jesus today? He's right here, and he's going to keep on doing what he has always been doing. Today and tomorrow, I'm casting out demons and performing cures. All right, he is still present. He is still doing his work to liberate people who are oppressed by evil, to perform cures, and to heal those who are sick and who are wounded. And this is all part of a larger work. He says a little bit later when he's mourning over the city of Jerusalem, 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 the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it, how often I have desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings. That's a really compelling image. I think it's a great symbol for the overall project that Jesus is about here. He is, in a sense, our mother. And right here, there's biblical evidence for that. Christ, our mother, is gathering us together like a hen gathering her brood of chicks. So I guess we could say Jesus is a chick magnet in this scenario. Who says we can't laugh today? Laughter is a revolutionary act. But Jesus, our mother, is gathering us together. And all of his healing and all of his liberating, all of his casting out of demons, everything that God has done from the moment of the Big Bang 13.7 billion years ago throughout prehistory, human history, biblical history, the reason why Jesus Christ came to earth and was born in Bethlehem, the reason why he taught and healed, forgave the sinners, welcomed the outcast, raised the dead, the reason why he died on the cross, rose again, ascended to the Father, and will come again, all of it is in the pursuit of what he images here, what he symbolizes here as a mother hen gathering her chicks. If you remember a few weeks ago, we talked about how the whole work of Christ is that God is gathering all things together in Christ. Well, this is right in that same vein. It's the same point being made all over again, this gathering together. All that's asked of us in the midst of that is that we be willing, that we be open to this. He says, How often I have desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. There's a play of words going on in the Greek here between the word desire and the word willing. In Greek, it's actually the same word. Jesus says, I am longing for this. I think it's ethalema, I believe is the Greek word. My research has all been pretty last minute, but it's from the root is the Greek word thelema, which is to desire, to will, to want something. He's longing to desire this. But you are not longing. I am longing, but he says to the people around him at this time, you are not. The question left to us is, are we longing for that for which Jesus longs? Is that same desire within us to be drawn together, which is what he wants to do with each and every one of us, with our whole society, with our whole world, I would dare say with our entire universe, all, 100 billion light years or however many there are, as far as out, its desire is the mother hen with her chicks just gathering together into one family. And his healing, his casting out demons, is all in pursuit of that. He is still a part of that work today. He commissions us to be co-workers with him in that mission as well. We are the hands and feet of Jesus. He does continue to free people from the bonds of evil today as we do so. He continues to heal those who are sick or wounded or bleeding on a hospital table through us. And we are commissioned to do the same today. All of this has happened so suddenly, we don't even yet know the names of the dead or their families. We have not yet crafted a response as a church. Maybe there is something that we can do in the coming days as we learn these details. But in the midst of all of the arguing that has already begun and is going to continue, we cannot claim to know where was Jesus while Jason Dalton was driving around Kalamazoo last night. We can't claim to know why this happened. We can't claim to have the solution that's going to fix this or prevent it from happening again. But we do know that where Jesus is that he is in the midst as a healer through us. He is in the midst of this, gathering the baby chicks to himself, which is all of us. And we are invited to be a part of that if we are willing, if we are longing for that same fellowship that he is offering to us. He says at the very end of this passage, I tell you, you will not see me until the time comes when you say, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Now that phrase may sound a little bit familiar to you. Each week, as we celebrate the Eucharist, There's the end of the Sanctus prayer. You may notice from your bulletin, we say, "Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." It's here in our liturgy. We say it with our lips every week. Can we say it with our hearts? Can we long for that gathering that Jesus is longing for, and that is ultimately symbolized in the gathering of grains to make bread and the gathering of the grapes to make wine? And then we all partake of the one bread and the one cup because we are one in Christ. And as we do this, you've heard me say this before, we become what we eat. We become the body of Christ as we receive the body of Christ. And we go out from here to be the hands and the feet of Jesus in the world, continuing to set the world free from evil, continuing to heal those who are wounded or sick, continuing to do and to long for what Jesus has always done and longs for, and what Jesus still does and longs for in us today. Will we do this today? Will we begin this today in the midst of carnage, in the midst of tragedy that happened just a few feet away from here? Are we willing? Because Jesus is willing, and he's here. Remember always, I love you, and God loves you. There's nothing you can do about it. Be blessed and be a blessing. Let's stand together.